Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, every once in a while, I like to start a sermon with a question. I do this in the hope of catching your attention and start you thinking about the message that I'm trying to convey. So, here's today's question. Who can tell me the last words written in the Bible? Now, wait, if you know, keep it to yourself, and we'll get back to that answer a little later on. If you are unsure of the answer, have no worries. I promise there will be no test following the sermon. Looking at the content of today's lessons, we seem to have left behind the resurrection appearances featured in most of our recent readings. Today, we have an interesting but slightly odd grouping of texts, including the adventures of Paul and Silas in Philippi, which includes a fortune-telling slave girl, an earthquake, and a jailbreak that never was. From there, we move on to the apocalyptic visions contained in the book of Revelation. Then, into a reading from the Gospel of St. John that features a prayer from Jesus for all his disciples. Paul and Silas traveled to Philippi to spread the teachings of Jesus. At that time, the area was new ground for Christianity, and they walked the streets seeking new converts. Oddly, a slave girl takes to following them around everywhere they go. Not an ordinary young lady, mind you, but one who is gifted, or perhaps we should say that she is more accurately described as being cursed, as someone who can tell fortunes. She shouts to the crowds, telling everyone that Paul and his companion are slaves to the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation. We are told Paul soon becomes annoyed with this girl, despite the fact that her announcements are very much the same message that they came to deliver. He just doesn't seem to appreciate all that free advertising. And so he performs an exorcism that frees her from the demonic spirit that is holding her captive. But her fortune-telling was a great little moneymaker for her owners, and they take offense and promptly have Paul and Silas jailed for their loss of income. That night, a strong earthquake shakes the city, and that jail is destroyed. Thinking his prisoners have all escaped, and afraid he and his family will be severely punished, the jailer is about to fall on his own sword. But understanding the jailer's dilemma, Paul reassures the man that they have not run away, coming to the realization that these Christians really do care about him. The jailer and his family are converted. Meanwhile, there is no one that celebrates that the girl has been freed from her demonic spirit. There is only concern for the loss of income. If you are a little like me, you may be a little cautious about taking the content of the book of Revelation too literally. Its descriptive imagery has often been used as the basis for frightening predictions. So we often tend to shy away from its rich symbolism and its metaphors. But we should remember that the content was written by a man in exile during a time when Roman soldiers were using cruel, overwhelming tactics to crush a Jewish rebellion. The words were actually intended to provide a measure of comfort and assurance to those people living in an uncertain and very frightening time. But today's reading from Revelation could hardly be more positive, for it assures us that Jesus is returning and invites us to be with him. In John's Gospel, Jesus is praying. It is the night before his trial and execution. He knows full well he has been betrayed, and his arresting posse is on the way. He understands he is to be put to death at the hands of Roman soldiers. They are trained and experienced specialists in inflicting the maximum pain and humiliation in their victims. Yet, in our reading, his prayers are not for himself, but rather for his disciples. But wait. His prayer is not only for those disciples sleeping nearby. He prays to God, saying, "Also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their words, that they may be one, so that they may be one as we are one." In that moment of prayer, Jesus is looking far, far into the future. In his last moments of freedom, he is praying for you and for me and for all Christians everywhere. With this understanding in mind, just how disappointed in us do you suppose Jesus must be? His last act of devotion is directed at us, so that we might be one with him. United with Jesus and the Father as one people, one body through one baptism. And here we are, some 2,000 years later, during a time where our misuse of God's creation and our unity among our fellow men and women must be at an all-time low. There are so many examples of how our own drinking water has been polluted, the air that we breathe contaminated, while eliminating one species of creation each day. Even now, we live in a time where there remain places women and children are treated as mere possessions. Many believe that the poor are poor because they deserve nothing better. And the accumulation of wealth and influence are the only real measures of success. All too often, those who do not look like us, or act like us, or have the same benefits that we take for granted, are considered to be inferior. Outsiders might well look at we Christians and ask, why can't they spend more time trying to live into their Lord's prayer for unity with one another and their God? The readings for this seventh Sunday of Easter are offered in an attempt to shake us up, awaken us, and to free us, just like the earthquake opened those prison doors in Philippi. The words are intended to encourage us to offer forgiveness, even to those who may torment us, and provide them a way to Christ, just as Paul did for that jailer. Our gospel reading encourages us to embrace and live into our Lord's most devout moment of prayer, to become one with Christ and examples on God's unconditional love and mercy, openly available to all persons everywhere. Now, as for the answer to the question that I gave you at the beginning of my sermon, those last words are found at the end of the book of Revelation. They were, in fact, part of our reading today, where it is written, "The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.'" Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. To which we can only add, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.